Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio program and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, March 22nd, 2007, and it is now about 6:31 Central Time in the good old USA. Folks, this station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Rio de Janeiro, Berlin, or Stalingrad. It's time for us to take back control of our government. Now, before this bureaucratic oversized and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought and dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and to our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, please call area code 646-652-4620, and we'll take your comments on the air. At any other time, when we're not broadcasting, that is, you can call into our studio at area code 903-551-2186. I'll repeat that, 903-551-2186. But while we're live, it's 646-652-4620. And we'll take your calls on the air. You can email us at any time at comments@libertytalkradio.com. And good morning, everyone. This morning, we are going to talk on a couple of subjects, one of which I avoid like the plague. I will be the first one to admit it. I received an email from a regular listener, and it was a few weeks ago. And embedded in that was a question about the abortion issue and what the Libertarian Party position was regarding the abortion issue. First, I'd like to answer by saying I do not speak for the Libertarian Party. In fact, there are some positions that I take that the Libertarian Party is sort of a fence-sitter, and I'll give you an example of that. I went to a convention a year ago or so, and there was there were articles written about this, of whether or not the libertarians should be in support of the war on Iraq. Well, shouldn't even have been a question. So I was at odds with at least some of the officials in the Libertarian Party. So I only speak for myself, and I speak based on libertarian principles. Am I right all the time? Are my principles poor and perfect? No, obviously not. But I sure do try to keep it as pure as possible, so that this is a good educational basis for us to get involved in some critical thinking. All right. Now, the abortion issue. There's so many things I don't like about the abortion issue, and that's why I avoid it. Number one is I don't like the terms. I don't like the terms pro-life, pro-abortion, and whatever, because they conjure up images, and images conjure up, inflame emotions, and then we go nowhere. Let me give you an example. Most fetuses are aborted in the first place. There's not a pregnancy every time. Every time the fetus is... the egg is fertilized. There's not instant birth or instant growth to a person, to a human being. Oh, and let me give you another definition. Is you have the pro-life people, whatever that's supposed to mean, as if everyone else is pro-death or pro-killing, and that conjures up the wrong image also. But there is a difference between a person and a human being. The definitions are different. there is a difference between a live organism and a human being, and there is a difference between a human being and a person. And what we do in this argument is that we use each one interchangeably, and you can't do that. For example, since most fetuses are terminated, I mean, just naturally terminated, that happens. It's a natural course of business. There may be, in some cases, some sadness regarding that, some regrets, and sometimes they're happy as a clam. You know, wow, I'm not pregnant, you know. So that cuts on both sides. And the problem there is that, you know, we don't hold services. You know, people don't get cards in the mail saying, I'm awfully sorry that your fetus was aborted. You know, hope you're feeling okay. Let's do lunch next week. We don't do those things, you know, because that's the natural cause of it. And one reason, this is my opinion now, because this is a lousy subject, and I quite frankly, just hate to just talk about it, but might as well put all the cards on the table, and then people can write in or call in and then do whatever they want. And then maybe we'll have some meaningful discussion. Because what we have at that point, and we know that instinctively, is just a group of cells, and it may be as few as 150 cells. And if you are the of the persuasion where your religion dictates that this is a live person now, not a fetus, but a live person, right? Or a human being. Now we're going where, you know, human being, human being comes first, then a live person, that an actual person has, you know, has been terminated. Then, if you take that position, you got to take that position 100%. And I don't think you can do that. You can't say, oh my goodness gracious, you know, I've lost 25 children in my lifetime. I mean, we don't do that. Even the most ardent supporters of the pro-lifers don't do that. So we do have some hypocrisy there and some inconsistency that we need to deal with. Now on the other end of the spectrum, right? What if, now the libertarian position basically is everyone has control over their own body. Right, so they can do whatever they please. So, you know, if you want to take drugs, go girl, go. Go guy, go. You know, take drugs. It makes no difference. I mean, provided it doesn't affect anyone else. Now, if I take drugs and it affects somebody else, then you're in trouble. Right? So you can do whatever you want. So basically, the libertarian philosophy is that if you don't want to have a child, don't have a child. You know. Now, then the question is, at what point? Obviously, does this fetus become a human being, some sort of a being in itself, right? Well, people, and therein, I think, is the real rub. Again, no one is grieving that a fetus was aborted, you know, after X number of hours. There's no one grieving out there. There's no processions in the street, you know, no funerals, you know, no eulogies. There's no nothing, okay? And we'll all agree with that. Now, on the other end, what would happen if a woman was a carrying child and decided that at an hour before the baby was born, was going to be, you know, born and let out into this world, so to speak, she says, oh, no, I would prefer to have an abortion. Well, now, see, you have a totally different arena. You're in a totally different story. Is this person, in fact, now a human being? Could this person, if, you know, when leaving the mother, you know, could it live on its own? Well, the answer is yes. And I think what Roe versus Wade has done, I mean, at least attempted to do, is try to, you know, bridge that, saying that there is a point, and we don't know what that point is, you know, that the fetus really becomes more of a human being, and then that human being has a right to life. Before that time, they're saying it's a fetus, and we treat it similar to the clump of cells, you know, that gets aborted. Now, I'm going to hear a lot of arguments about that and whatever, especially from those people who feel that a fetus has a soul upon inception and all this other stuff. And that's just religious gobbledygook, excuse me. There's no evidence to that. That's just your belief. And I'm just talking from a practical point of view. If you want to believe that, that's fine. But I'm just saying that sort of ends the argument there. And once you bring religion into any argument, every argument closes, because every religion is extreme, it's absolute, it's dogmatic, you know, it's irrational, how can you talk religion when everyone says, you know, my God is better than your God, and it's all over? So I'm just saying, from a humanistic point of view, this is what it's like. And so I sort of subscribe to that. And I think we've benefited greatly as a nation, believe it or not, because of Roe versus Wade, because, you know, it's very unfortunate that so many children are born today out of wedlock. Now, why this is so, you know, I'll tell you who I'll blame. I'll blame the damn government. Once again, I'll blame the damn government. I'll blame the damn government on most of our problems, you know, and they create those problems, and then they try to patch them up with more programs. If the government would just keep their nose out of everything and everyone would just be responsible for themselves, we wouldn't have the mess that we're in right now. And that includes every issue, especially the immigration issue. Keep the government out of our schools, telling people, you know, that they are, you know, culturally diverse and they should, you know, but all this other garbage that they teach in school, rather reading, writing, and arithmetic, so kids can be assimilate and then compete in the marketplace. So I blame the government, number one. There's a lot of blame to go around. If someone is unmarried, they have no facilities, no financial resources to raise a child, and they're immature, and they get pregnant, and and weren't raped or anything like that. They're responsible for that too, right? But I think our mindset is such as, don't worry about it. If you get pregnant and you have children, the government will take care of you. And anyway, all my other girlfriends have babies anyway, and they're on title this, title that, and title this, and they're on food stamps. So, you know, they get along. I'll just hang with them. You know, that's the real problem. But going back to the abortion issue, I don't think it's an abortion issue. I don't think we should use the word abortion. I don't think we should use the word right to life. I don't think we should use the word, you know, pro-life or any of those terms. We should look at it more from a clinical point of view, and get religion out of it, you know, because religion doesn't solve anything. Religion just separates people. The abortion issue, or this issue that I'm talking about right now, which I hate calling the abortion issue, you know, is one. But because of Roe versus Wade, many children, young girls who were pregnant, whether it be their intention or they were forced or whatever, and most times they're forced, you know, these young girls and these, in these, especially if they're not monitored very well with a strong family ties and whatever, and they wind up having children. And if they have children and then they can't support the children, then you have, and most babies that are born, the majority are male, but statistically, they wind up on the street, and then you have gangs, and then it gets worse and worse and worse. You know, I think Roe versus Wade has done this nation a tremendous amount of good. Crime has been going down substantially since Roe versus Wade, and if it is ever reversed, we're going to see the crime wave come back, and they're going to blame it on everything else but, you know, the actual cause, right? So I'm not one that thinks that, number one, I mean, from a philosophical point of view, that there is a person or an individual at birth. I don't believe that there is any soul or anything like that. I think that's all gobbledygook. I think I look at it from a very practical point of view. You know, we do have right to our own lives, and we could, if we do elect to be pregnant, but then elect to abort within a certain period of time, I think that's okay. Now, whether or not it's after 8 months, 8.5 months, I think you should have made that decision beforehand. At that point, you've already made the decision, and then we have, although we have sort of a host, you know, we do have a situation, I think at that point, you bought into the program. So there's my opinion on the abortion issue. It had nothing to do with the Libertarian Party, but it's a quasi-philosophical and the libertarian approach to things, and that's the end of that. I didn't mean to talk so much about that, but I wanted to get over because I get questions about it, and I avoid answering them. All right, now, my friend Alex from Connecticut asked a question about term limits, and what I want to talk to you about in the next 15 minutes, because this will be a half-hour program. Oh, and let me do station identification, which I always forget. This is Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano. Please call in to 646-652-4620. If you are listening live, and we're going live 6:30 to 7 o'clock Thursday morning, March 22nd. All right. Otherwise, called area code 903-551-2186, and you can leave a message or send us email at any time at comments@libertytalkradio.com. All right. Now, the race is heating up very, very early, and it seems that the race heats up earlier and earlier every year. Thus far, I don't think there's anyone out there who's the front runner, either on the independent arena or the major parties. The major parties have not been able to put someone together or elect someone who's got a half a brain cell working and would do anything at all for this country other than do more. You know, we're not there yet. We just need to do more. That type of rhetoric, which means we're going to go down the rosy path. In fact, I would love to do, in fact, what I'm going to do next Sunday, because our guest, who is going to be George Phillies, he's running for president. Originally, I was going to interview him on Sunday, April 1st, but unfortunately, I'm going to be out of town. And instead of doing a remote broadcast, which I prefer not to do, I'm going to broadcast on Sunday morning, and I'm going to talk about the monetary issue, all right, about our monetary issue and how it relates to our campaign and why we should be concerned about it. All right. Now, George Phillies, who's a candidate for president of the Libertarian Party, and he'll be running against the two people that I already interviewed. That was Christine Smith. She was last week. And Steve Cubby. I interviewed him 2 weeks ago. And I'll be interviewing him on Sunday, April 8th. Okay, Thursday we'll have our normal program. All right. Now, I just want to lay some foundation. We only have about 12 minutes or so. And it's this. The candidates will be talking about, when they're forced to, about term limits, about the dynasties that have, you know, we need a change, we need a fresh face, you know, which of course Hillary Clinton can't prescribe to that because she was running the White House once before. And this is Barack Obama's claim to fame, is that he's a new guy in the block. He hasn't been as tainted as everyone else. And I love that. You know, he says, well, you know, they're bad, but I'm just not as bad yet because I haven't been there long enough. And then we vote for him. I just love that logic. But we have characters like that. And then we have a host of independents. I think the independents, every one of them would do an infinitely better job. Even if their heart's in the right place and they're, and you know, when their minds go south on their solutions, they would do a infinitely better job than any of the mainstream candidates. Right? Now, but how do we get away from creating dynasties and having the same people being voted back into office time after time after time? You know, McCain, it makes me want to puke. He's been there 100 years, and that guy has no idea philosophically where he is. You know, I think the guy should go home and retire, become a farmer or something like that. All the other political hacks been bought and sold 500. I mean, they've prostituted themselves 1,000 times. We don't need another one of those. Barack and Hillary, same thing. You know, get lost, get out of here. And why don't we talk about what's really important to everyone, and that's our freedom to choose the way we want to live, all right? Stop stealing our money so we can have this pursuit of happiness that's in our Declaration of Independence, you know, and leave us alone. And no one's talking about that, and that's the only thing we should be talking about. Now, Christine Smith, when I interviewed her last week, that's all she did talk about, and I applaud her for it. I have no idea what her chances are of winning. She certainly has the energy to win. Now, whether or not she has the, she will get the name recognition and she will get enough airtime to at least be competitive, even on the most minimal level, I don't know. But I do wish her luck, and her heart and her mind are in the right place. I think Steve Cubby also has a chance. And he's a real sharp cookie. I wish he would stay away from the marijuana issue because it's a turnoff, all right? We also interviewed Daniel Imperato. Daniel, I'd love to be your campaign manager. I think your heart's in the right place. I think your solutions are in the wrong place because they're illogical when they come philosophically illogical. I think you're a good guy, and I'd love to interview you again, but we're going to do it a different way this time. In fact, I may give you a call. Now, George Phillies, I don't know about him, and there are a dozen others that are running, and I'd like to get them on the program. And I think we're going to be a little bit more hardcore on our interviews in the future. We let them go on, and maybe we'll make them go on the first time, and then the second time around when we invite them, then we're going to hit them much harder and toughen them up a little bit, because if they don't get tougher, they ain't going to get a chance, ain't going to have a chance of winning, I can tell you that. All right, now, how do we get these people, these independents whose hearts and minds are basically in the right place? Well, we can clean up our entire political establishment by returning the power of the vote from the politician and give it back to the people. What do I mean by that? All right. Right now, we have a very archaic system, voting system. It's called the I call it the absolute system. It's absolutely one way or absolutely the other. Three people are running. You have a Republican, a Democrat, and let's say an independent, whether it be Libertarian, a Reform Party, or whatever. And you'll see that in most states. Sometimes you'll find four people running. And let's talk about the presidential candidates race for a second. All right, you walk in, and what do you say? You say, "Well, I really like the independent because that person really makes sense, but I don't want to throw my vote away, so I vote for the lesser of two evils." And whomever you think that is, that could be the Republican or Democrat, and then you do so. Now, most people vote that way. The other people who are so disgusted about the entire system, as myself, right, don't vote at all. I mean, if there is someone that I cannot vote for, I do not vote. And let me repeat this, ladies and gentlemen, on the air. I do not vote when there is no one to vote for. If there is a person who I think is totally unqualified in one party, totally unqualified in another party, Republican and Democrat, I am not going to go and then vote for my perception of the lesser of two evils. And then when that person gets in, someone will say, "Hey, you voted for him." I ain't going to do that. I don't vote. It is our right not to vote. This garbage that we hear from the politicians, that is, it is our duty and obligation to vote, that's a ripoff. That is telling us we must vote for them. You see what I mean? They're saying you must vote for us or else. No, we are revolutionaries in thought and dissidents in action. And when I don't vote, I'm not only a revolutionary in thought, I'm a dissident in action. And I'll tell you when I'll start voting. Number one, when there's someone to vote for. If in Oklahoma there was a Republican, a Democrat, and an independent that I thought was worth being president, I would be the first one there. I would make every effort to vote for that person. I can care less whether or not that person has a viable chance of winning or not. It's immaterial. I vote for the person who I think could do the job. And that's how we all should vote. Screw this lesser of two evils crap. We have to start cleaning out our minds and cleaning out our closets. Now, this is how we return the vote to the people. Right now, it's in the hands of the politicians. Remember, they're the ones that are telling us we must vote because it is our duty and obligations as American citizens, so you must vote for us so we can continue to rape you and pillage and cheat you and destroy this nation. They are destroying this nation, ladies and gentlemen. And I won't go into that now. They are destroying every one of them. They are corrupt when they get in there. They become corrupt if they're not corrupt when they get in there. And they are destroying this nation. Look around you. Look at everything. Nothing makes sense anymore. We are no longer the America we were intended to be. And our politicians tell us, yes, that's true, but we're doing it for your own good. You must vote for us. Drop dead, go to hell, all of you. Not my viewers, the politicians. Now, this is the way we clean things up. We have something like an approval voting system. There are several different types. I mean, there's variations. Let me just give you one that I particularly like. We don't have to do it this way, right? You can vote for whomever you want. You can vote for the Republican, the Democrat. You know, you vote for as many people as you want. Let me put it this way. Or you vote for no one. For example, you walk in and you think the Republican, the Democrat, and the Independent were all bums, right? You vote no, no, no. Right? Now, let's assume everyone thought they were all bums, right? You have the right there. You have the right, the option of voting no. You say, I think the Republicans are bum, the Democrats are bum, and the Independents are jerk, you know? No. And let's assume we all did that. No one would get any votes. No one would get into office. And you can have something like you have to get at least X percent to be eligible for office. So if there are not enough people who think the person is eligible to lead this country, the person doesn't get in. Makes sense to me. Instead of voting for the lesser of two evils, and then we wind up with a Bush-Gore situation. Right? Now, let's assume this. Let's assume for a second that you have a Republican, Democrat, and Independent. First person walks in. Let's assume there's only three people voting. Let's just assume the whole population is three people, just to make it simple. First person comes in as a Democrat, right? Guy says, wouldn't vote for Republican. He votes against the Republican, for the Democrat, but likes the Independent. You know, the Independent's really a sharp guy. He's a guy who's going to, and he votes for the Independent. So now the Democrat and the Independent have one vote each. Republican has none. Next person walks in, diehard Republican. Wouldn't vote for a Democrat if his life depended on it, okay? He votes for the Republican, votes against the Democrat, right? But says, you know, that Independent's not a bad guy. He votes for the Independent, right? Now, the Independent, the Republican has one vote, the Democrat has one vote, and the Independent has two votes. Now, if they close the poll at that point, who would win? The Independent. Now, the Independent walks in and exasperates the situation even more, right? Goes in, doesn't think the Republican is any good, doesn't think the Democrat's any good, you know, the old political hacks, votes for the Independent. Now, Republican has one vote, Democrat has one vote, Independent has three votes. Independent wins by a landslide. Now, why is not that in? That is actually a voting system in place in certain municipalities around the United States, and it works very well. Now, the only reason why it is not on the national level or the state level is because it takes the vote. It removes the vote from the politician to the people, and they won't do that. If you did that, and at the same time, everyone who got into office, everyone who was into office would serve one term. Now, remember, you know, the reason why the congressman only served 2 years is because it was intended that way. They were supposed to go to office, you know, serve for 2 years, go back to their farms or their shops or whatever, you know, and they're supposed to be the people's court, so to speak, the people's party, the people's government. So people coming in and out, no continuity. They didn't care about party, right? In fact, they cared very much about people going in there, doing whatever they had to do, if anything needed to get done at all, by the way, and then leave and give somebody else a chance. That way, when someone gets into office now, and they're a congressman, right? What do they do as soon as they get in? Well, they're gonna have to run again in 2 years, right? So they start campaigning, and all they do is campaign. And then the people with the most money typically win. Get rid of term limits, approval voting system. Our entire political landscape would change overnight, right? And the course of American history will reverse itself and will start going down the right road, okay? And with that, I'll leave you with that thought. Please send me some email at comments@libertytalkradio.com. And this is the end of today's broadcast. We had a real short broadcast today. And I'll try to see you. It'll be Sunday morning. I think that I'll be broadcasting again. Okay? This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiologies for their financial support. And we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address, again, is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Or if you would prefer to leave a phone message, It's area code 903-551-2186. Our next broadcast, I think it'll be Sunday morning, because I'll be gone in the afternoon. Sunday morning, I'll try to make it early in the morning, somewhere around 9 o'clock. And we'll have a half-hour broadcast, and then we'll have our regular broadcast again 1 week from today at 6:30. Okay, and then we should be on our regular schedule once again. And on April 8th, we do have George Philly. That's Sunday evening at 8:30. George Philly's, who is a candidate for president of the Libertarian Party. Okay, and with that, remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.